This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Over the past 10 to 15 years, as many as a million older Americans have moved into assisted living centers, places where they can get help if they need it and still maintain their independence. For many, it's a much better option than a nursing home. But as this relatively new industry grows, problems arise over the quality of care, over charges of abuse and neglect, and residents' rights. And as residents age, they end up needing more care. After almost 2 years of study and debate, a group made up of healthcare professionals and consumer advocates could not agree on the definition of assisted living. Is it a residence, a home that doesn't require extensive regulation, or is it a healthcare facility that does? Despite the disagreements, the panel presented findings and recommendations yesterday to the Senate Special Committee on Aging. The chairman of the special committee is Senator Larry Craig of Idaho, and he joins us now by phone from his office on Capitol Hill. And welcome.
Neil, thank you, and thank you for your interest.
There were 110 recommendations in a 381-page report, so if you could summarize those for us.
Well, yes, I can. There were 110 recommendations, and of the group of 50 diversified organizations that came together from consumer advocates to the actual managers of these assisted living facilities, the 110 recommendations had to receive a two-thirds vote of the 50 to get in the report. And it varied from an attempt at defining what assisted living is to all different kinds of approaches and recommendations that different facilities are now using. As I think you realize, this, as you've described, this is a relatively new concept in living for our senior citizens. It is one without federal dollars involved. It is almost all privately funded and now regulated only at the state level.
Now, is it going to be difficult to proceed with recommendations if the panel can't even agree on a definition of assisted living?
Well, there's a good reason why they can't agree on assisted living. And I say that because it used to be called independent living just a couple of years ago. Because these seniors still remain very dynamic in their lifestyles, they've just decided in many instances they can't do as much as they used to. They don't want the responsibility of a home. They want the assisted living environment. They're still very much independent, and so it is an evolving concept at the moment. Now, does that mean they live in individual apartments within a complex? Does it mean they live in condos within a complex? Or does it mean they live in a variety of different rooms and have actual care? That's why the industry really had some difficulty in definition.
Well, as I understand it, more than half of them now are over 85 years old. Almost half of them now have problems with dementia or Alzheimer's. Clearly, some of them do need some professional care.
They do. And clearly, one of the recommendations was the development of a staff ability to determine if a person was suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. That is something that not the average caregiver can understand unless they can look for certain indicators and make those determinations and actually then be able to assist the families and the individuals oftentimes in advising them that they need a different level of care.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an example of part of the recommendations that these entities have these kinds of expertise or experts on board.
Some owners and some residents worry that if regulations are applied, they will drive prices up, which would force some people out and would make assisted living centers more like nursing homes, which is what people went to assisted living centers to avoid.
Exactly, and that's the catch-22 that we need to be careful of. What we will do, first and foremost, is encourage and work toward the wide dissemination of this 381-page report. Those who were there, many of them said it is now a template from which these agencies, or I should say organizations, private sector groups, can operate to bring some degree of commonality to it. We're going to do that for a couple of years. We'll probably go back into some oversight hearings within the next year or two to see how wide the dissemination was, what changes are coming about. We'll continue to scope to recognize any abuse that might go on.
Now, as you mentioned, where there is regulation, it is entirely up to the states. Yet, if you go back to the history of nursing homes, which is certainly analogous, the federal government was very slow to get involved in that, despite, you know, a lot of scandals, as it turned out. Do you see a quicker role for federal regulation in assisted living?
Probably not, because the states did move on nursing homes, largely because of the state dollars involved. As the federal dollar began to get involved, then there was a greater concern or legitimacy to track. I think we've caught the assisted living care group's attention, that we're watching much more closely than they had expected we might, and we're going to continue to assure them that we are going to watch. We don't want abuse in any sense of the word. And what I think is most important now is that this is a competitive industry searching for the customer. And these folks, in most instances, when they enter assisted living, enter with almost all of their human faculties, and they have families that are watching very closely as they move in, because this is not a must situation. In many instances, it is a choice.
Senator Craig, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Larry Craig is a Republican from Idaho, and he's chairman of the Senate Special Committee on Aging. He was with us from his office on Capitol Hill. Well, listeners, this hour, assisted living. Do you have a member of your family in an assisted living facility, or are you perhaps listening to this program while you're there? How is it working for you or your family? Is it an option you're thinking of for yourself? And if so, what are your concerns? If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now here in Studio 3A is NPR health correspondent Joseph Shapiro, and good of you to be with us.
Thanks, Neil.
The panel couldn't come up with a definition of assisted living. Why don't you try one?
Well, as Senator Craig said, it's a very different model of elder care. It's very different from a nursing home. And the basic idea that it's supposed to be like being in your own home. You get a private apartment with a small kitchen, a place to park your car. But if you do need some help with something, with things like getting dressed or bathing, then there is some staff to assist you. So the typical resident of assisted living is a widow. She's in her 80s. Generally, they're pretty well off. 90% of assisted living residents pay for it out of their own pocket.
About how much?
And it's, well, a studio apartment typically runs about $30,000 a year. So it's not cheap.
Now, what's the controversy?
Well, this is an industry that's at a crossroads. It became very popular in the 1990s because it promised residents independence and choice. It promised that people could move in and that they could stay until they died. But now the typical assisted living resident, as you said, looks different. That widow who moved in when she was in her 70s, now she's in her 80s. And she's not quite so independent anymore. She's got more health problems. And that was one of the main things that this assisted living work group was grappling with.
She may also have a life that she's reluctant to leave.
She wants to stay independent, but she's got more health problems. So the assisted living work group was trying to figure out how they could help her stay independent and deal with these health problems. But that's not easy, because remember, assisted living was set up as housing, not a medical model. And if you start adding medical care, then it starts looking like a nursing home, which, as you said, is what people were trying to avoid in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we mentioned, obviously people are aging, and the dementia and Alzheimer's problems, those are very real.
Those are big problems. Probably the trickiest things for the industry to deal with right now. It presents some of the biggest problems for both the industry and state regulators. You've got about one-fourth of facilities, assisted living facilities, now have special wings for people with dementia. And these are places that have specially trained staff. They have more staff. They have locks on the front door to protect people from wandering. But 70 to 90% of the people who do have dementia, who are living in assisted living, they're not in these special dementia wings. Some states are trying to mandate that they do move to these places, but people don't want to go. Most of all, they want to stay in their own apartments. They want to stay on the floor that feels more like a home. And at one facility I was at, I met a woman. She was desperate not to be moved to the basement. That's where they kept the dementia ward. And she was trying to prove that she could function in the regular assisted living. She put a path of dish towels down to her bathroom so she could find the way. She tied a ribbon to her chair in the dining room to prove that she could always find where she was supposed to sit.
States are in charge of regulation. This is scattershot. They're doing all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Well, unlike nursing homes, assisted living has been lightly regulated. And that means that if the facility doesn't keep its promise to you, you're pretty much on your own. And so as a result, we've had a rise of complaints. Some people move in, they find that there are hidden fees that can add hundreds of dollars to the monthly bill. There's a problem with untrained staff, especially when it comes to dealing with dementia. And so states are trying to figure out, how do you protect residents but without overregulating to the point that you lose that choice and freedom that makes assisted living attractive? So I think that one of the hottest issues right now is whether a state should require people with dementia to leave regular assisted living. And a few states have opted to err on the side of resident choice. In Michigan, for example, they leave it up to the individual, their family, and the family doctor to decide. But other states are coming down on the side of safety, and they're telling people that if you have dementia, you have to leave and go to a dementia facility.
Mm-hmm. Our telephone number again is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, TOTN@NPR.org. And our first caller is Donald, who joins us from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a mother-in-law that is in assisted living in New Jersey, and when she was looking around for such a site, we had looked at New York, New Jersey, and the Massachusetts area, and I do think probably New Jersey has, at least in my limited scope, some of the better regulations for setting it up. But in a way, looking at what that provided, and maybe it's more of a healthcare question than a straight assisted living. But she was in a one-bedroom apartment, in effect, in a complex of 200 to 300, somewhere in that number. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And she could live there, and she had to have one meal in the common dining room, but she had a stove and a sink and everything in a little kitchenette area in other words, for eating. And they do have somebody patrolling the corridors, and they check every day that the person is well and everything.
Did it work for her?
Partly. She had had a heart attack about 9 months before she went in.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably was depressed before that. She basically did not do anything physical. And in other words, the health care, in other words, there's another wing where mm-hmm. they have that's in effect like a very, very nice nursing home. In other words, there's two women or two people in a room.
Right.
And with full-time care.
Just wanted to get a response from Joseph Shapiro.
Right.
I mean, does this sound a typical setup?
Well, I think what Donald's showing in his case with his family member, it shows that when we get old, we have lots of health care issues, and it's really tricky to care for
these.
That's
true. And if we all do this, where the prices are going to go through this thing. In other words, I think there needs, whether this is the kind of thing to do it or not, but somewhere there needs to be some financial incentives or whatever for us to take better care of ourselves, because she really didn't, and you could see her getting weaker. She could never even, you know, get herself up out of a chair sometimes, and she'd never spend a 1 second, you know, she just decided somewhere in her late 70s or mid 70s that at her age, she had to do only what she wanted to do.
Well, Donald, we wish you and her the best of luck, and thanks very much for the call. We're talking about the growing popularity and growing concern over assisted living. 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the rapid growth of the assisted living industry and whether more oversight and regulation might be necessary. Our guest here in Studio 3A is NPR health correspondent Joseph Shapiro. And if anyone you know is in an assisted living facility or if you've ever considered it, you're invited to join the discussion. Give us a phone call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now is Doug Pace. He's Director of Assisted Living and Continuing Care at the American Association of Homes and Services for the Aging, and he's with us from his office here in Washington, D.C. Good of you to be with us.
Thank you.
We regulate nursing homes. Why not assisted living?
Well, assisted living is regulated. It's currently regulated at the state level in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
So does that mean that the industry itself is, you know, obviously there are many different levels of regulation in a lot of different places?
That's correct. We feel that most states currently have a core set of requirements that are very similar that ensure quality and safety for the residents. But being because assisted living is primarily a private pay market, and also the fact that there's diversity among residents across the different parts of the country, that it's worked very well at the state level.
What does it mean if the industry itself, as we just saw from this panel that was submitting its recommendations to the Senate committee, can't even come up with an agreed definition on what assisted living is because there are so many different kinds?
Well, we believe that the report does give a definition of assisted living. It is broken into three parts, but there's one core part of the definition that we feel is appropriate as a definition of assisted living, and it talks about that it's a state-regulated and monitored level of care, that it provides oversight and services to meet the resident's individual scheduled and unscheduled needs, and it includes such things as 24-hour awake staff, provision and oversight of supportive and personal services, health-related services, social services, recreational activities, meals, housekeeping and laundry, and transportation. So we did get a good consensus from the work group that there's a core part there that should be in states' definitions of assisted living.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned that if there is more regulation, that the prices might be going up?
Well, that's always a concern that we look at. I mean, we want to make sure that regulations that are out there are good regulations, that they ensure quality, but that they're not there, that that there could be regulations that could drive up the cost of care and that would not improve the quality of care. Private pay market is something that those costs are going to be passed on directly to the consumer, so we need to make sure that the regulations that are there are appropriate.
One of the recommendations involved, posting clear and easily understood, rules for the patient's rights, what the charges are, what they can expect in return for that, and how much notice they have for eviction and that sort of thing.
And we absolutely agree with those. We think that disclosure is absolutely crucial, that a prospective resident understands before they move into the facility what services that they are going to get, the costs that are associated with them, and as you said, if it reaches a point to where they might have to leave the facility, what that might entail and how much notice they would be given. So we totally agree with those recommendations.
Joe?
Doug, there's been some research that shows when people do leave assisted living that 3 out of 4 times the person's leaving to go to a higher level of care. Doesn't that suggest that assisted living isn't meeting the health care needs of residents?
Well, Joe, I think that, yes, it could possibly show that because assisted living is and was never intended to be a replacement for nursing home care. Assisted living is a part of the continuum of care, and certainly it's an appropriate level of care for people who need help with activities of daily living and some minimal health care and nursing needs. But if someone reaches a frailty or acuity level where they need 24-hour skilled care, then nursing home care would be more appropriate for them.
But the industry's always long promised that people could age in place. That was often a promise of the industry.
Well, and that's true, and it all depends on what everybody's definition of aging in place is. Mm-hmm. And certainly people are allowed to age in place many times much more so than they could in their own home. But again, it's not a place where you would receive heavy medical care.
Okay. Doug Pace, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Doug Pace is Director of Assisted Living and Continuing Care at the American Association of Homes and Services for the Aging, and he was with us from his office here in Washington, D.C. Let's go now to Maxine, who's with us from Naples, Florida.
Thank you for taking my call, Neil.
Sure.
I heard the news item this morning on Morning Edition, and I was very happy to hear that the condition of assisted living institutions is coming to the attention of Congress, because it is deplorable. The gentleman who just spoke made it very clear that when you need additional care, and I speak specifically of Alzheimer's patients, stroke victims, and the mentally handicapped, this is no place for you. And yet I am in an institution where three-fourths of the members fall into one of those categories.
Is it an assisted living facility?
Yes.
And
I was taken in as independent, which is a totally fatuous thing for marketing to offer in a place like this.
And you say three-quarters of the people there suffer from...
Pretty much.
That must make it very difficult.
It is extremely difficult. In fact, PBS and NPR are my lifelines to sanity, and I can't discuss it with anybody.
Well,
It's tough.
Do you feel like you were misled?
Oh, thoroughly. I mean, this business about you can age in care, you come in healthy, and it was a misconception on my part to think, you know, that most everybody has at least some health or some sanity. And so I thought, well, that's nice. I won't have to leave the apartment if I finally get to the place where I need more care. And it was a back problem, spinal stenosis,
mm-hmm.
that brought me in here, and it was horrible at the time. And I must say that the living, without having to cook and shop and God knows what, has been much easier for me to heal. And I am much better than I was when I came in. But I still do not think I should be penalized in a population that was not represented. And believe me, right to this day, they do not represent the fact that they take in these people and keep them here.
Hmm. Do you feel like you have any options?
I feel helpless. I have tried to get in touch with the state. I've used the internet. I've been on the telephone. And in both cases, you get a total runaround. They don't want you to know whatever loose laws Florida is trying to enforce.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I'm not sure that there's anything we can talk about.
I think Maxine's described a dilemma that people often face in assisted living. They move in, they may be independent, they're young, and then their friends age around them, and they're in a very different kind of institution.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am 88 years old. I came in when I was 4 years ago, when I was 85. As a matter of fact, I will have been here 3 years tomorrow.
Well, I'm not sure happy anniversary is the right thing to say, Maxine.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I am very agitated, and I would like to know where I can find laws that govern these places, and I would like to be able to keep in touch with what Congress is doing. How can I do that?
Joe?
I don't know if you have access to the internet. But
she does. Yeah.
Then you can look at the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging.
Special Committee on Aging. Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck.
It's a great opportunity, Neil. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Kathy, who's with us from Whispering Pines, North Carolina.
Hi there. Yeah, I thought I could share some advice before you go in. I help my mom.
Uh-huh.
And I had to move her from her house to a total care facility in 1995. Because I found out she had Alzheimer's, and therefore she had dementia,
mm-hmm.
and she would imagine some things. And it was very hard to decide, but we took our time and looked at each place. And we found this total care facility in our local area, which offered her independent care until she would need assisted living, which they would give her until she needed total care.
So they had a variety of services available.
Had a variety. And they offered the option that if some people really needed assisted living, they could hire a personal assistant from the outside to help them be independent in their independent living before scaling up to assisted living.
Mm-hmm. Are there different levels of cost as well?
No, you bought an apartment. It wasn't a total give everything away. You did buy an apartment. She had 950 square feet apartment, a beautiful campus, that she could either walk the woodland trails or even walk into town, which scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemed to have a personal touch that they let her be there longer than any other unit would have. Had we gone to this other facility, she would have been put in a 9x12 room in Alzheimer's with a 9x12 garden shared with 20 other people.
And if you don't mind my asking, how much is all of this costing?
She got to pick the size of her apartment, and she wanted bigger. She was a professional person, and she didn't like being downsized. So we downsized her from a 2,000-square-foot house to the 950 apartment,
mm-hmm.
and she chose that one over others. So that was the total care for $51,000.
So, Joe Shapiro, are there a lot of these facilities that offer these different levels of service?
Right. These continuing care retirement communities exist around the country. They often will have they have assisted living as part of a continuum of care that they offer. And I think that some of the better ones let you stay in the apartment that you're in, and they bring the services there, rather than saying, okay, now you have to move over to the assisted living building or to the nursing home wing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for the advice.
Okay. So if they look around, they might find something so they don't lose everything too fast.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Joining us now is Rick Harris, the president of the Association of Health Facility Survey Agencies, whose members regulate nursing homes and assisted living facilities. He's also a state nursing home and assisted living regulator for the state of Alabama, and he joins us from his office in Montgomery. Good of you to be with us.
Well, I'm very glad to be here, Neil.
What kind of regulations do they have in Alabama for assisted living?
We have two levels of care in Alabama. We have specialty care facilities for people with dementia and what we might call regular assisted living facilities for people that don't need quite such extensive care. And the specialty care facilities, the staffs have to receive a lot of additional training for dealing with dementia issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, as somebody who's seen a lot of these facilities, what concerns you the most?
Well, the same things that that Joe mentioned and that your earlier caller mentioned, which is there are an awful lot of people with dementia in the assisted living, being cared for by the assisted living industry around the country, and not every facility that admits those people has the staff with the adequate training, and that is an extremely dangerous combination. People who have dementia are extremely vulnerable to abuse. They're vulnerable to elopements where they may come to harm. They lose weight.
Elopements, you mean wandering away?
Wandering away, right. They lose weight, and they fall and get injured.
I just wanted to read you an email we got from Annette Morris Montgomery on that point. I've worked in geriatrics for 9 years and have worked in assisted living as part of that. Now I have a caregiver support company and do placement as part of that. The problem with assisted living, nursing homes, you name it, will always be the same. She says the profit margin demanded by the parent company means underpaid, undertrained staff and a scarcity even of that. As more people age and we need more care facilities, we must accept that staff need to be paid enough to motivate them and to be able to demand good people. Otherwise, we'll have this same conversation for years and years to come.
There's a tremendous amount of truth in that statement. The assisted living industry, the nursing home industry, essentially recruits service industry employees. They compete with McDonald's and Burger King for their employees. And
They're paid at that level?
Of course, it depends on the facility, but $7-$8 an hour maybe in Alabama.
That's going to be a continuing problem.
It's a problem. It's going to continue to be a problem, and I don't see it changing.
We're talking about assisted living, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Rick Harris, what did you think of the report that was submitted to the Senate committee?
I'm afraid to say I did not think much of it. I was a participant on the assisted living work group and dissented from many, many of the recommendations. I do not think that, basically they're very tepid. They do not address the fundamental widespread care problems in this industry, nor was the work group as a whole willing to even acknowledge that those care problems exist.
That suggests that, returning to this in a couple of years' time, as Senator Craig suggests, what do you think of that? Is that going to be soon enough?
Well, the states are are doing a lot of things on their own, and my association is going to work with states and develop our own recommendations about what states should do. But we're going to be looking at this industry for years to come. The industry is essentially positioned in the same place that the nursing home industry was in the 70s. The people that are being cared for are getting sicker and sicker. There are not, in most states, a strong set of regulations to make sure that people are being adequately cared for. And the press is starting to understand just how bad the care is in many places.
Well, thanks very much, Rick.
You're welcome.
Rick Harris is the president of the Association of Health Facility Survey Agencies, and he was with us from his office in Montgomery, Alabama. Let's see if we get another caller in. And Luella joins us from Milwaukee, Oregon.
Yes, I'm calling with an experience that I had with my mother just in the last couple of years. She was independent, living in an apartment of her own, and became ill, was hospitalized, and after a month in the hospital, in our area, the hospital will not allow you to go home. You have to go, if they do not feel that you can take care of yourself, you have to go into what we call in this area either an assisted living or an adult foster home. We checked out a lot of these different places, found them to be high quality, and we had my mother move into an adult foster home where she had her own bedroom and bath, and she had access to a beautiful home with five other residents, and she had full-time care that involved a family where the children were part of the home atmosphere. My mother enjoyed that tremendously. She became better. The main thing that they took care of for her was her medicines. Now, since she has become better, she has moved into what we call an independent care. And it is a large apartment complex that houses approximately 150 adults. The average age is 85. Some of them do still drive. The majority of them don't. There's a little bit of dementia involved there, but there are some people there that are 103 years of age who are still going up to their dining room to eat three meals a day. They have little kitchens. My mother has a studio apartment, which she's very happy with, and the price of that happens to be approximately $1,200 a month. The one-bedroom apartments are around $1,700 a month. When she was in the foster care...
We're running out of time on this segment. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
It sounds like this is working for you.
It's wonderful. I'm calling to say that Oregon is handling this. Their advocacy is perfect. Clackamas County, I can say nothing but wonderful things about it, and our adults in this area have great choices.
Well, thanks very much for the call, good choice, I guess.
You're welcome.
We'll come back with a couple more questions on the issue of assisted living when we come back from a break. And we'll also be talking about ham radio and the Hello World, which is a new book, The Life in Ham Radio. So if you're a DXer, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-8255. That's also talk there at the end, if you want to put it that way. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In the headlines today from NPR News, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld is visiting the Iraqi capital. Meanwhile, outside of Baghdad, in the town of Fallujah, NPR's Guy Raz reports that U.S. troops have clashed with anti-American demonstrators for a second day. The United States, along with the United Nations and other governments, has presented a new roadmap for peace in the Middle East. NPR's Vicky O'Hara will tell us about the plan, which proposes a Palestinian state by the year 2005. Those stories later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, E.L. Doctorow joins us. The author's new book is a collection of essays, part memoir, part literary criticism, part rumination about the universe. It's called Reporting the Universe. He'll be here with us tomorrow to talk about that book. We're still talking about assisted living. Our guest is NPR health correspondent Joseph Shapiro, and he's with us here in Studio 3A. And just before the break, we were hearing from a caller in Oregon who was very happy, as contrasted with Maxine from Florida, who was unhappy with her experience.
Well, Oregon's been a national leader in experimenting with alternatives to nursing home. It's done a lot. It was a leader in assisted living with adult foster care, which her mother was in, and also with small group homes.
And what about the future? This is, of course, we're looking towards the retirement of the baby boom generation, the biggest demographic bulge in history. This is going to be a critical issue in the years down the road.
And I think boomers are going to want something different. They're going to want something that offers lots of choice and freedom and control. First of all, seniors today are already rejecting the traditional system of long-term care. They're paying out of their own pockets to stay out of nursing homes, and one of the things that they're paying for is assisted living. And I think the future of assisted living depends a lot on how the industry resolves these questions, these problems that we were talking about today. And if it starts looking and feeling too much like a nursing home, then boomers are going to reject it. And some assisted living companies are already experimenting with what they think will be the next wave. They call it assisted living at home. And the basic idea is they come to your home and they provide all those services you get in assisted living. They bring it to your home. An aide can come a few hours a day to help you bathe or get dressed. They can deliver meals to your door. A van can take you to your doctor's appointment. And technology, too, is going to make a difference. It's already making a difference. Some of these companies are experimenting. They are using machines. They're about the size of a television. You can put them in your bedroom or your living room, and they dispense medication, and they will tell you when to take the medication, and they can remind somebody, say, with dementia, that it's time to take a pill.
But given the calls that we've had from different parts of the country, it also sounds like you would be well advised to check out what the regulations are and wherever it is you live.
Check the regulations, and as one of the callers said, make sure you go and see that place.
Joe Shapiro, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
NPR health correspondent Joe Shapiro, who was with us here in Studio 3A.